All right, well, what we're going to do next, of course, is I will say the words. Turn with me, if you will, the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It's easy to find because it's the beginning of a new book, kind of a new old book, but in any case, a book that we've probably seen before. If not, it'll be interesting. And, of course, it is Leviticus or Vayikra, and that's the first word in the book, and it means and called Yahuwah. So Vayikra chapter 1, and called Yahuwah unto all Moshe, and he spoke to him out of the tent of meeting, and here's what he said. Speak unto the B'nai Israel, the children of Israel, and say to them, when any man of you brings an offering, and korban is the word here that's used, an offering unto Yahuwah, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, or of the flock. And it's an interesting the root word. The root of korban evidently is of us. So I guess it's an offering that is of us, and that makes sense. It's something that would essentially be something that we would have or take care of or eat. All right, if his offering is an olah, a burnt offering of the herd, he shall offer it a male without blemish, and he'll bring it to the door of the tent of meeting, that it may be, or he may be accepted before Yahuwah. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the olah, the burnt offering, to make it accepted for him, to make atonement for him. Now, one of the key things we're going to see here is, throughout a lot of these offerings, there's something significant about laying a hand on the head of the animal that is just preparing to give its life. And I do think, having raised goats for several years now and recognizing that would be a difficult thing to do, I can understand the significance of it. Then he shall kill the bullock before Yahuwah, and Aaron's sons, the Kohanim, the priests, shall present the blood and dash the blood round about against the altar that is at the door of the tent of meeting. And he shall flay the burnt offering, cut it into its pieces, and the son of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay wood in order upon the fire. So then Aaron's sons, the Kohanim, the priests, shall lay the pieces, the head, the suet, in order upon the wood that's on the fire upon the altar. But the other parts, the innards and its legs, he shall wash with water. The priest shall make the whole smoke on the altar for a burnt offering, an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto Yahuwah. Now, if his offering is of the flock, whether it's of the sheep or of the goats, for an olah, a burnt offering, he shall offer a male without blemish. And he shall kill it on the side of the altar, north, on the north side, before Yahuwah. And Aaron's sons, the Kohanim, shall dash its blood against the altar round about. Again, he cuts it into pieces. The priest lays them with its head and its suet in order on the wood on the fire upon the altar. You notice a lot of the terminology here, the words are almost identical. But the inwards and the legs he shall wash with water, and he offers the whole, makes it smoke upon the altar. It is, again, an olah, a burnt offering. And, of course, olah has the meaning of lifted up because the smoke goes up. An offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto Yahuwah. If his offering to Yahuwah is a burnt offering of fowls or birds, then he shall present his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. The priest shall bring that to the altar, pinch off its head, and make it smoke on the altar. The blood thereof shall be drained out on the side of the altar. He takes away its crop from the feathers thereof and casts it. Now the crop, of course, if you've not raised birds, is the little front part where when the bird eats, it goes down, and it's kind of like above what we would think of as the stomach. And cast it besides the altar on the east side in the place of the ashes. Then he shall rend it by the wings thereof, but not divide it asunder. And the priest shall make it smoke upon the altar, upon the wood that's on the fire. It is an olah, an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto Yahuwah. Now the next chapter says, when any person or soul, anyone, it's interesting, the word that's used there actually is nefesh. So it is when any soul, living soul, brings a meal offering. And this one is called a mincha, so mincha is a meal offering unto Yahuwah. His offering shall be of fine flour. He puts oil on it, and he puts frankincense on it. Then he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the Kohanim, and take thereout of a handful of the fine flour and of the oil, together with all the frankincense, and the priest shall make the memorial part, in other words, a fraction of it, smoke upon the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto Yahuwah. But that which is left of the meal offering belongs to Aaron. It's his and his sons. It is a thing, Kodesh Kodeshim, most holy, of the offerings made by, of the offerings of Yahuwah made by fire. Now, when you bring a meal offering baked in the oven, it should be unleavened cakes of fine flour, mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers spread with oil. And in both cases, unleavened is the key. If you offer a meal offering baked on a griddle, it should be fine flour, unleavened, mingled with oil. So that's the common thread here. You'll break it in pieces, pour oil on it. It is a meal offering. Now, if your offering is a meal offering of the stewing pan, it is what else? Fine flour with oil. And you bring the meal offering that is made of these things unto Yahuwah, and it is presented unto the priest, the Kohen, and he shall bring it to the altar. And he takes off the meal offering, the memorial part thereof, makes that smoke upon the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto Yahuwah. But that which is left, that meal offering, belongs to Aaron and his sons. It is a thing, Kodesh, Kodeshim, of the offerings of Yahuwah made by fire. Now, no meal offering which you shall bring to Yahuwah shall be made with leaven. For you shall make no leaven, nor honey, or smoke as an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. As an offering of first fruits, you may bring those things to Yahuwah, but they shall not come up for a sweet savor before or on the altar. And every meal offering of yours you shall season with salt. Nor shall you suffer the salt of the covenant of your Elohim to be lacking from any mincha, meal offering. All your offerings you shall offer them with salt. And if, now this is an interesting one, this word is ve'im, and Rashi notes that it's really should be rendered in this case, the proper English translation would be when you bring a meal offering of first fruits unto Yahuwah, you bring for that meal offering of your first fruits corn in the ear, parched with fire, even groats of the fresh ear. You put oil on that, lay frankincense on it, it is a meal offering, and the Kohen shall make the memorial part of that smoke, even of the groats thereof, or the oil thereof, and all the frankincense thereof, it is an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. And then finally, now we're going to get to some more, I guess you could say even a little bit more technical issues, because this is going to start to talk about some things that are, we'll get there. Let's just read through it. If his offering is a sacrifice of shalomim, okay, we recognize the root there, shalom, peace, shalomim, plural, so peace offerings. If he offers it of the herd, whether it's male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before Yahuwah. You do not sacrifice the blemished animal. He shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering, kill it at the door of the tent of meeting, and Aaron's sons, the Kohanim, shall dash the blood against the altar round about. And he presents this sacrifice of shalomim, an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah, the fat that covers the innards, and all the fat that's on the innards, the two kidneys, and the fat that's on them, which is by the loins, and the lobe above the liver, which you shall take away hard by the kidneys. And Aaron's sons shall make it smoke upon the altar of the burnt offering, which is upon the wood on the fire. It's an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Yahuwah. Now, if his offering for a sacrifice of shalomim unto Yahuwah is of the flock, male or female, he offers it without blemish, as we have seen. If it's a lamb for his offering, then he presents it before Yahuwah. He lays his head upon his hand upon the head of the offering and kills it before the tent of meeting. And again, Aaron's son shall dash the blood thereof against the altar round about. And he shall present of the sacrifice of shalomim, peace offerings, an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. And here we go again. The fat thereof, the fat tail entire, which he shall take away hard by the rump bone, and the fat that covers the innards, all the fat that's on the innards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that's on them, which is by the loins, and the lobe above the liver, which he shall take away by the kidneys. The priest shall make it smoke upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. Now, if his offering is of a goat, he shall present it before Yahuwah. Again, very similar process. Lay his hand upon the head of it, kill it before the tent of meeting. The sons of Aaron shall dash the blood thereof against the altar round about. And he shall present thereof his offering, an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. And here we see again the fat that covers the innards, the fat that's on the innards, the two kidneys, the fat that's on them by the loins, the lobe above the liver, which you shall take away by the kidneys. And the priest shall make them smoke upon the altar. No, almost, but not identically, word for word. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is Yahuwah's. And that's the interesting part that you see here. The fat is not eaten. The fat belongs to Yah, and it is made to smoke upon the altar. This, it says, shall be a perpetual statute, okay, huchat olam, there are those words again, forever throughout all your generations and all your dwellings, that you shall eat neither fat nor blood. And Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, speak unto the B'nai Israel, and say to them, if anyone sins through error in any of the things which Yahuwah has commanded not to be done, but he does instead do one of them, well, we're going to see a whole bunch of, actually three specific instances, slightly different cases. And I want to make a couple of observations before we go through this. One, notice that the common thread here is sinning through error. And that's a neat word in Hebrew. It's be shigaga. Okay, so sins, be, or in, shigaga, error. Error. Any of these things which Yahuwah has commanded not to be done, he does one. All right, well, who are we talking about? First one is, if it's the anointed priest, the Kohen, that sins so as to bring guilt on the people, then for his sin let him offer, for that which he has sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto Yahuwah for a sin offering, a chatat. He brings the bull before the door of the tent of meeting before Yahuwah, and at what else? He lays his hand upon the head of the bullock and kills the bullock before Yahuwah. And the anointed priest shall take the blood of the bullock and bring it to the tent of meeting. Now, remember, a young bull in today's parlance, I haven't priced anything lately, but I know that bulls are expensive. This is a very expensive offering, probably the equivalent of, $1,000 or more, depending upon how old it is and all that. So this is a very expensive sin offering. If the priest then shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of that blood seven times before Yahuwah in front of the veil of the sanctuary, the priest shall put the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before Yahuwah in the tent of meeting, and all the remaining blood of the bullock he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering, which is at the door of the tent of meeting. All the fat of the bullock of the sin offering he shall take off from it, the fat that covers the innards, the fat that's upon the innards, the two kidneys, the fat that's on them by the loins, the lobe above the liver, which he shall take away by the kidney. So very, very similar process here, of course. And as it is taken off the ox of the sacrifice for Shalamim, the priest shall make them smoke upon the altar of burnt offering. But the skin of the bull and all of its flesh, with its head and with its legs and its innards and its dung, even the whole bullock, shall be carried forth out of the camp. And, of course, this is something that we're going to see Paul, or the author of Hebrews, whoever that is, make a reference to this, that the stuff that's left here is going to be burned in a clean place, but outside the camp, where the ashes are poured out, and it's burnt on wood with fire, where the ashes are poured out, that's where it shall be burned. Now, who else could sin? Well, here we go. How about if it's the whole congregation of Israel, Kol Edat Israel, the whole congregation, but they don't know it. The thing is hidden from the eyes of the assembly, and they do, though, some of the things or any of those things which Yahuwah has commanded not to be done, so they're guilty. When the sin wherein they have sinned becomes known, then the assembly shall offer a young bullock for a chatat, very similar, and bring it before the tent of meeting. And this time, it is the elders of the congregation, who obviously didn't know either, or they should have said something. They lay their hands upon the head of the bull before Yahuwah, and the bullock shall be killed before Yahuwah. The anointed priest shall bring the blood of the bullock to the tent of meeting, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood, sprinkle it seven times before Yahuwah in front of the veil, and he shall put of the blood on the horns of the altar before Yahuwah, that is in the tent of meeting. And all the remaining blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering at the door of the tent of meeting. And all the fat thereof he'll take off from it, make it smoke upon the altar. Thus shall he do with the bullock. As he did with the bullock of the chatat, same thing, so shall he do with this. And the priest, it says, shall make atonement for them, and they shall be forgiven. All right, so we've talked about a priest that sins, a whole congregation that sins. Notice, there seems to be a difference here because we would expect that both of them ought to know, right? The priest, you'd think, should know. And the whole congregation, surely out of a whole congregation, there should be some that would know. Well, what's next? This time, if it's nasi, a prince or a ruler, a nasi, if he sins, now this was interesting too. Rashi makes a note here. The word is asher, like when or if, what happens when. But the similar root word is ashrei, fortunate. Remember? Ashrei, ashra, asher. So there's this common root here. And Rashi's comment is, isn't it fortunate when we have a ruler that actually recognizes that he has sinned through error and then does something about it? And you look back, you think, well, that's kind of a consistent theme throughout history, right? How many rulers have the presence of mind or even the honesty to come forward and say that? So, got a ruler, Anasi, he sins, does through error, note, it's not deliberate, one of the things which Yehoahazel has commanded not to be done. He's guilty. If he sins, and his sin, where he has sinned, is then known to him, he shall bring for his offering a goat, a male without blemish. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they killed the burnt offering before Yehoah. It is a chatat, sin offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the chatat with his finger, puts it on the horn of the altar of burnt offering. Remaining blood he pours out at the base of the altar of burnt offering. And all the fat thereof he shall make smoke upon the altar as the fat of the sacrifice of Shalemim. And the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his sin, and he shall be forgiven. All right, what's left? Oh, here we go. How about if any of the common people of the land, sin accidentally, through error, and they do any of the things which Yehoah has commanded not to be done, and they're guilty, if his sin, which this common person has done, becomes known to him, then he shall bring for his offering a goat, a female without blemish, for his sin which he has sinned. And interestingly, as a general rule, throughout most of agricultural history, whether it's goats or cattle that we're talking about, or sheep, the females are generally considered more valuable. Why? Because a female can bear lots of kids, whereas a goat, one male can take care of a lot of females. You don't have to have all that many goats. So we'll find that throughout most of Scripture, when there are sacrifices that are made, often as not, it is a male that is offered. And in this case, it is, however, a female without blemish. So it's a more expensive offering. He shall lay his hand upon the head. There we go. He shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and kill the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. And the Kohen shall take of the blood offering, therefore, thereof with his finger, put it on the horns of the altar, and of the burnt offering, and the remaining blood shall be poured out at the base of the altar. That part remains consistent throughout all of this. But again, notice in this case, it's the one who sinned through error that puts his hand on the head of the poor young goat that is fixing to die. All the fat thereof he shall take away, the fat that's taken as the fat was taken away from off the sacrifice of Shalemim, and the priest shall make it smoke upon the altar for a sweet savor unto Yahuwah. The priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be forgiven. Now, if instead of a goat he brings a lamb as his offering for a sin offering, again, it is a female without blemish. And again, he lays his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and he kills it for a sin offering in the place where they killed the burnt offering. The priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, put it on the horns of the altar, and all the remaining blood he pours out at the base of the altar. And all of the fat thereof he takes away, as the fat of the lamb was taken away from the sacrifice of Shalemim. Priest makes some smoke on the altar upon the offerings of Yahuwah made by fire, and the priest shall make atonement for him as touching the sin that he has sinned, and he shall be forgiven. So we got this entire chapter that has to do with sins, and in every case, it is through error, doing something should not have been done, but they didn't know any better. And I made this observation just about every time, so I think it's worth repeating. You can't make that claim too often. As a general rule, if you have to kill an animal or put your hand on the head of an animal and watch it die for what you screwed up, it's kind of difficult to not take that lesson to heart, I would think. So you can't really easily claim that, oops, I did something else, almost the same thing, second time around, and I didn't know it. Nope, second time you probably should have known. All right, if anyone sins, this is chapter 5, in that he hears the voice of adjuration, he being a witness, whether he sees it or knows it, and he does not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. So you see it? I don't want to say something, but certainly when you see something which is, in fact, a sin, then you utter it, or else you bear the iniquity. Now, if anyone touches any unclean thing, whether it's the carcass of an unclean beast or the carcass of unclean cattle or of an unclean swarming things and is guilty, but it's hidden from him because he is unclean, or if he touches the uncleanness of man. That would include woman, obviously. Whatever his uncleanness be, where he's unclean, and it's hidden from him. And then when he finds out about it, he knows it, now he's guilty. Or another option, if someone swears clearly with his lips to do some evil, or to do good, for that matter, whether it's a man that shall utter an oath clearly, and it's hidden from him, and when he knows of it, he's guilty in one of these things, it shall be. Okay, so here is a couple things that could be done without necessarily knowing about it, but it happened. It shall be when he is guilty in one of these things that he shall confess that wherein he has sinned, and he shall bring his forfeit unto Yahuwah. Now, this is different. You notice we're going to see some significant difference here for his sin which he sinned. And again, it's a female of the flock, a lamb or a goat, for a chatat. The priest makes atonement for him concerning his sin. And in this case, the term is a trespass offering or a guilt offering. And if his means, however, don't suffice for a lamb, then he brings his forfeit, that which he sinned, two turtle doves or two young pigeons unto Yahuwah, one for a chatat, a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering, or law. He brings them unto the Kohen, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, pinch off its head close by its neck, but does not divide it asunder. Then he sprinkles of the blood of the sin offering on the side of the altar, rest of the blood drained out at the base of the altar. It is chatat, a sin offering. Then he shall prepare the second, the fowl, the bird, for a burnt offering, according to the ordinance, and the priest shall make atonement for him as concerning his sin, for which he has sinned, and he shall be forgiven. Now, if his means don't even suffice for two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he shall bring for his offering that wherein he has sinned the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a chatat. Don't put any oil on it, nor shall it put frankincense on it. It is a chatat. Then he brings it to the priest. Priest takes a handful of that as a memorial part thereof, makes it smoke on the altar upon the offerings of Yahuwah made by fire. It is chatat, a sin offering. And the priest then shall make atonement for him, touching that sin which he has sinned in any of these things. And yes, he shall be forgiven. And the remnant belongs to the priest, as is the case of the meal offering. And then when Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, if someone commits a trespass, a sin through error. Now, trespass is a slightly different concept. I think most of us know, we generally think of trespass, you're walking on land that's not yours, it's, you know, keep out, no trespassing. But in this case, a trespass is something where you have impinged upon something that belongs to someone else, is the general idea. And in this case, though, it's something that belongs to the Creator. So if one commits a trespass, a sin through error, in the kadosh set-apart things, right, it's beshagaga again, didn't know it, of Yahuwah, then he brings his forfeit unto Yahuwah, a ram without blemish out of the flock, according to your valuation of the silver by shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary for a guilt offering. And he shall make restitution for that which he has done amiss in this holy thing, and shall add to it a fifth part, so 20% extra. So there is a damage that has been done. He adds repayment for the damage plus an extra fifth part. He gives it to the priest, and the Kohen priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the guilt offering, and he shall be forgiven. Now, if anyone sins and do any of the things which Yahuwah has said, commanded not to be done, but he doesn't know it, yet he is guilty, he shall bear his iniquity. And the result, he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, according to your valuation, for a guilt offering unto the priest. The priest makes atonement for him concerning the error, the shagag, in this case, which he had committed, though he didn't know it, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering, a sham. He is certainly guilty before Yahuwah. And I've got a note here. Remember Psalm 51, against you, you only, Yahuwah, have I sinned and done this evil. So Psalm 51 is talking about he actually committed a pretty gnarly sin, adultery with Bathsheba. And then, of course, later he ended up, because he wanted to keep it covered up, getting Uriah the Hittite killed. And that's pretty bad. It is also a trespass, yes, as well as those other things. Now, Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, if anyone sins and commits a trespass against Yahuwah and deals falsely with his neighbor, for example, in a matter of deposit or a pledge or of robbery, or he's oppressed his neighbor, or have found that which was lost and dealt falsely therein. In other words, he found something and he didn't return it like he should, and swears to a lie. In any of these things that a man does, sinning thereby, it shall be, if he has sinned and is guilty, he shall restore that which he took by robbery, or the thing which he got by oppression, or by coercion, or the deposit which was deposited with him, or the lost thing which he found. In other words, any of these trespasses, any of these things which he is guilty of, he is to restore it. And anything about which he's sworn falsely, he shall restore it in full, and he shall add a fifth part thereto it. So 20% on top of it. Unto him to whom it appertains shall he give it in the day of his being guilty. Now notice, it doesn't say the one against whom he has sinned. He has sinned against Yahuwah by doing that which he shouldn't have done. He has also dealt falsely or trespassed against his neighbor. So the neighbor gets restitution. The sin offerings go to Yah. He brings his forfeit, and there's a forfeit as well. That is the sacrifice unto Yahuwah, a ram without blemish out of the flock, according to your valuation, for a guilt offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make atonement to him before Yahuwah, and he shall be forgiven concerning whatever he does, so as to be thereby guilty. Now, at this point, that's the end of the Parsha. So it ends at the end of chapter 5.